The Apartment Upstairs. Prologue. The Ceiling. Sometimes I wonder if the first sound I heard was real, or if it was already starting then. The slipping. The coming apart. It started with footsteps. Not loud, not angry, just rhythmic. A steady, worn path pacing back and forth. I remember lying in bed, still surrounded by half-unpacked boxes, and thinking how comforting it was. Someone else was awake. Someone else was moving through the dark like I was. I told myself the man upstairs couldn't sleep either. Maybe he had a lot on his mind. Maybe he was just lonely. I imagined he was tall, pale. Maybe always wearing socks because the sound was soft, just a drag and press against old floorboards, like a lullaby. The apartment itself was quiet during the day. The walls always seemed to breathe, but I didn't mind. It was better than the silence I'd come from, the silence of that last fight, of slammed doors and unread messages, and my own voice echoing back at me through a phone that stayed dark. But at night, he came alive, pacing, crying, sometimes talking, low and desperate, sometimes humming, never words I could make out, just a breath behind the plaster. I never saw him, not once. I tried to listen harder. I'd lie on the floor with my ear to the old wood, trying to memorize the pattern of his steps. I began to count them. I left notes. I wanted him to know I heard him, that I understood, that I was here too. I never got a note back. Not then. But I kept leaving them because I was unraveling, because I was not alone, because I needed him. Until the day Mrs. Tilden told me the truth, with her voice brittle and eyes flicking toward the ceiling. "There is no apartment upstairs, Claire. Not anymore." And suddenly, the footsteps didn't feel so comforting. They felt patient. They felt rehearsed, as if something was waiting. And maybe it still is. Chapter 1. The Lease. The hallway smelled like wet drywall and old cigarettes. Claire paused at the base of the third floor landing, shifting the battered duffel bag on her shoulder. The keys in her hand were still warm from Mrs. Tilden's grip. She had the kind of handshake that lingered too long and eyes that didn't blink enough. But she was cheap, and Claire didn't have the luxury of being picky anymore. The apartment building was older than it looked from the street. Gray brick and crooked window panes, wedged between a boarded-up laundromat and a tax office that looked like it hadn't done taxes since the Clinton administration. Three stories, no elevator, no doorman, barely any tenants, from what Claire could tell. Her new apartment, 3B, was at the end of the hall. She walked slowly, her boots echoing faintly off the chipped tile floor. The hallway lights flickered once, buzzing like dying flies. As she approached the door, she hesitated. Something about it felt off. The door was slightly smaller than she expected, like it had been installed inside a frame meant for something larger. The paint, an uneven beige, was cracking in the corners. Her name wasn't on the door yet, just the faded outline of whoever had come before. Claire slid the key into the lock. It stuck, then clicked. The door creaked open into a space bathed in muted, sepia-toned light. Dust motes spun in the air like ash. The blinds were half closed, casting long slats of shadow across the hardwood floor. home. She stepped inside and let the door fall shut behind her. The apartment was small but livable, a narrow kitchen that bled into a living room just big enough for a couch and a coffee table, a tiny bedroom with one window that looked out onto a cracked brick wall, and a bathroom with a faucet that dripped once every 10 seconds, like a clock. It was enough. It had to be. She set her bag down and walked the perimeter. The wood creaked under her feet. The air was cool and faintly musty, but not unclean. The walls were thin. She could hear someone's TV playing somewhere below her, a muffled sitcom laugh track that made her skin crawl for reasons she couldn't name. She ran her fingers along the windowsill. Paint flaked beneath her touch. She felt the weight of the last 6 months pressing into her shoulders. The breakup. The crash. The empty apartment she'd fled. The therapist who said things like self-isolation and grief spiral. Claire hadn't so much chosen this place as surrendered to it. She dropped onto the couch. Springs protested beneath her. A cloud of dust erupted from the cushions. She smiled, despite herself. It was a new beginning. Not a glamorous one. Not the kind that people posted about online, but real. Solid. Quiet. Exactly what she needed. Until the first night. It started just after midnight. Claire had unpacked a few essentials, coffee mug, laptop, toothbrush, and collapsed into bed with her coat still on. She was too tired to change, too wired to sleep. Her mind buzzed with static. She stared at the ceiling, blinking at the faint watermark above her bed. It looked like a cloud, or maybe a face. She closed her eyes. And then came the sound. Soft. Slow. Deliberate. Footsteps. Above her. Claire froze. Her eyes snapped open. She stared at the ceiling again. There it was. One step. Then another. A steady rhythm. Like someone pacing in a straight line, heel to toe, over and over again. She pushed herself up slowly. Her eyes darted around the room, as if she might see the man above her through the floorboards. She waited, listened. The footsteps continued for maybe 30 seconds. Then silence. Then crying. Just one sob, a man's voice, low and hoarse. Then nothing. Claire swallowed hard. Her chest ached in that old familiar way, the grief-shaped space that hadn't closed yet, maybe couldn't. The sound had touched it, brushed it like a fingertip along the edge of an open wound. She lay back down and stared at the ceiling for a long time. Eventually, exhaustion won. She drifted. Somewhere deep in the night, the footsteps returned. The next morning, the sun bled in through the crooked blinds. Claire made instant coffee with the last of the clean water and stood barefoot in the living room. Her phone was charging in the kitchen. No messages, no missed calls, just a cold blue sky outside and the faint hum of traffic 2 blocks over. The ceiling was silent. She laughed a little to herself. Maybe she dreamed it. Sleep paralysis, maybe. That had happened before, years ago. She'd wake up frozen, unable to move, convinced someone was in the room with her. Her therapist had explained it away with charts and sleep cycles. Still, she walked to the window and looked up at the exterior of the building. There it was, the window directly above hers. Drawn blinds, but no light inside, no shadow, no sign of life. She thought about knocking on the neighbor's door just to say hi, to confirm he was real. Instead, she opened a notebook and tore out a page. She wrote, "Hey, I just moved in. I hope everything's okay. I heard you last night. I'm here if you need to talk." She folded the note in half and climbed the stairwell to the top floor. The hallway was even more faded than hers, yellowed walls and worn carpet with strange rust-colored stains. There it was, the door at the end of the hall. No number, just a flat, unwelcoming slab of wood. She slid the note underneath and paused. The air up here was cold, still, as if the floor itself didn't quite breathe. She turned and walked away. Her footsteps didn't echo. But behind her, just for a moment, she thought she heard someone breathe in. Chapter 2. First Night. Claire had always been a light sleeper. Even before the split, before the sleepless nights haunted by Lucas's empty side of the bed, she'd wake from the slightest creak or cough of the building. But this night, her first night in apartment 3B, was different. Because this time, it wasn't just the sounds that woke her. It was the absence of them. The city never slept. Even in the quieter districts, there was always some undercurrent. Distant sirens, the soft whir of passing cars, voices trailing like ghosts down alleyways. But now, lying in the middle of her thin mattress, her back arched in the cold like a drawn bowstring, Claire noticed the silence for what it truly was. Wrong. Too still. Too complete, like a vacuum pressed to the ears, and then the footsteps returned. The ceiling groaned slightly, no louder than the twitch of old wood expanding in the night, but unmistakably human. Footfall after footfall, measured, deliberate. Pace, stop, turn, repeat. Claire lay motionless, her breath shallow, her heart thudding in her throat. She blinked at the water stain above her. It had spread slightly since yesterday, just a little, a vague blotch that now stretched like a handprint. The pacing above continued for at least 10 minutes, maybe longer. Time felt disjointed, loose. Her eyes flicked to the phone charging on her nightstand. 1:24 a.m. She considered going up again, another note, a knock maybe. She almost got out of bed. And then the crying started. Not loud, not sobbing, just a single aching sound. A man's voice cracking under the weight of some invisible grief. It caught Claire off guard, raw and startling. Too familiar, like a mirror held to her own chest. And for a moment, her eyes welled. She didn't know why. The crying stopped. She sat up slowly, brushing damp hair off her face. Her body ached. Her skin felt tighter, somehow, as if her pores had closed themselves off from the air. Something about the sound had pulled at her. Not just pity, not just curiosity. Something deeper. Connection. "You're not the only one," she whispered, barely aware she'd spoken aloud. But no one answered. Just the soft sound of a foot dragging across the floor above. The next morning, Claire made coffee with bottled water and opened all the windows. She tried to be rational. Old buildings make noise. Pipes shift, floors creak. Her own steps echoed strangely when she walked barefoot, and she noticed a slight draft near the windows. Maybe wind passed through vents and turned into phantom whispers. She considered journaling, the way Dr. Renner used to encourage during therapy. Name the fear, speak it out, disarm it with language. But Claire didn't want to write about it yet, not when it felt like naming it might make it more real. Instead, she wrote another note. This one was simpler. "I hurt you again. Are you okay?" She folded it carefully, tucking the corners tight, and climbed the stairs. But when she reached the upstairs hallway, she stopped short. The door at the end of the hall looked different. It was the same door, technically. Same position, same lack of numbering, but something had changed. The light above it was dimmer, the air felt colder, and the note from the day before was gone. She knelt slowly, placed the second note on the ground, and hesitated before pushing it under. A breath caught in her throat. She hadn't imagined that, had she? The first note was gone, taken, moved, read. Claire stood abruptly, retreating two steps, her breath fogged faintly in the air. No sound from inside, just the stillness again. She turned and hurried back down the stairs. Later that afternoon, as the sun dipped behind the jagged skyline, Claire sat curled on the couch with her laptop open, pretending to work. The cursor blinked on an empty document. She stared at it for what felt like hours. Outside, wind scraped dry leaves across the windowpane. A few voices drifted from the street, distant, disconnected. She leaned back and closed her eyes. And then faintly, from above, a soft knock. One. Then silence. Then another. But it didn't come from the front door, not from the hallway. The knock was directly above her head. Claire stood slowly, her limbs stiff from disuse. She walked toward the bedroom. The ceiling above her desk had a spot where the plaster bowed slightly. She craned her neck. Knock. Again. Just once. Then nothing. Her pulse quickened. Every nerve in her body felt electric. She reached out on instinct, placing her palm flat against the ceiling. It was cold. Too cold. And then she felt it. A vibration. Small but real, like someone standing on the floor above, pressed directly above her hand. Claire snatched her hand back. She stumbled into the hallway, heart hammering. She considered calling someone, Jasmine maybe, but what would she say? "Hey, someone's living in the unit above me that doesn't exist. I'm not crazy, I swear." Instead, she forced herself to calm down, breathed in through the nose, out through the mouth, focused on the mundane, dishes in the sink. Bills to pay, the stupid sitcom laugh track still bleeding through the floor below. And then came the scratching. Not at the door, at the vent. The metal vent near the top of her wall began to tremble slightly. Something moved behind it. Claire backed away slowly. She stared. One long second. Then two. A voice whispered from the other side, "Claire." She screamed. It took her nearly an hour to fall asleep again that night. The voice hadn't returned, the vent had gone still, but Claire pushed the dresser in front of it anyway. She curled up on the bed, knees to chest, fingers clutching her phone like a lifeline. No missed calls, no voicemails. But at 3:17 a.m., the pacing returned. Slow. Steady. Purposeful. Above her. And this time, when it stopped, the crying didn't follow. Only laughter. soft, and very, very wrong.